going to work out of. Okay, so Rav Dessler is going to be one of our Rebbeim, at least for the next short while, for the beginning of the year. And with that, we will begin. Okay, on page 231, it says Tshuva, you can see. And the piece is called, it's a short piece, just a little longer than a page. Yud Gimel Midos HaPesach Pasuach Tamid. Okay, Chavri, you see that? Please be honest if you don't, and I'll make sure that you have it. Again, if you want to comment at any point, just feel free to unmute, or just if you know how to use the little raise your hand emoji thing on the screen, feel free to use that, and I encourage your insights and your comments, okay? But Rav Dessler is going to begin by explaining to us a beautiful Gemara. It's a famous Gemara, and it's a Gemara that we need to know about this time of the year. Okay, the pasuk says, "Vayavur Hashem al panav vayikra." Vayavur Hashem al panav vayikra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu passed in front of Moshe Rabbeinu and proclaimed. What did Hashem proclaim? What did Hashem declare? This pasuk is in Shemos Perek Lamed Dalid. And it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu really giving Moshe, revealing to Moshe, the secret of davening before Hashem when you're in really big trouble. What was the trouble that the Jewish people were in? The trouble the Jewish people were in was Chet HaEgel. And what was the solution to that? Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hashem, you know, don't destroy the Jewish people. Have a little mercy on Klal Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu passes before Moshe Rabbeinu, and he reveals to Moshe Rabbeinu some of the most powerful words a Jew needs to know. Okay, if you have a chumash, by the way, just one other thing by way of introduction. Set up your spot, you know. Have a spot where you're going to learn. It's worthwhile to have maybe a Tanakh, a chumash. If you have a set of Gemaras you want to keep it close by, that's great. If you have a Rambam, if you have a Mishneh Berurah, whatever. You know, try to make it look like a Beis Medrash a little bit. Try to make it feel like you're in yeshiva, because you are in yeshiva. Okay, so definitely try to keep some Sfarim close by. Make a space for yourself. But I have a chumash here open in front of me. So what did Hashem say to Moshe Rabbeinu? What are the words that we're going to say over and over and over again throughout Slichos and the Yom Noraim? What are the words? Hashem, Hashem. Kel rachum v'chanun. Erech apayim v'rav chesed v'emes. Notzer chesed la'alafim. Nosei avon v'fesha v'chato v'nakei. Right? These are the words. The Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachamim. The 13 expressions of Hashem's kindness. Of Hashem's rachmanis, of Hashem's mercy. These are the magic words, by the way, Chavra, to save yourself. When you're in trouble, you scream out these words, Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum v'chanan. Hashem, you're merciful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're forgiving, you're compassionate, you're gracious. Right? These are the words that can save a Jew's life. And we use them over and over and over during these days. Okay? So look what the Gemara says. Take a look on the page in front of you. It says Rav Dessler, he's quoting a Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Il male mikra kosuv I efshar la omro. Had the pasuk not said this, we wouldn't have been able to say this. Meaning, what does it mean Hashem passed before Moshe and he proclaimed? It's almost like Hashem was showing Moshe how to actually use these words. And Rav Dessler says, based on the Gemara, yes, Hashem was teaching Moshe how to maximize the power of these words. Melamed, it comes to teach, Shinisatef HaKadosh Baruch Hu Keshliach Tzibor, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrapped himself in a talis, like a chazan, Vehera lo leMoshe Seder Tfila, and showed Moshe how to really daven. Okay, Chavra, I don't know about you. I mean, I do know about some of you, right? But I struggle a lot with davening. I do it. I go to shul. I open my sitter. But I find it sometimes very difficult to daven in a real way. I don't think I hold myself to like an unreasonably high standard. To talk to Hashem is a hard thing. It's not an easy thing. So Hashem was teaching Moshe Rabbeinu, if you want your tefillos to work, if you're going to call out to Hashem, Hashem have mercy on me and save me, you have to daven in a real way. So what did Hashem do? Hashem, so to speak, wrapped himself in a talis, like a chazan, and he taught Moshe the Seder tefillah. Amar lo, he said to him, Kol zman shi Yisrael choten, whenever the Jewish people do averos, yasu lefanai keseder hazeh, do this, act out this order, follow these steps, va'ani mochalahem, and you will be forgiven, the Jewish people will be forgiven. Bris kerusa liyud gimel midos, a covenant, a bris, a covenant, has been sealed with these 13 attributes are these 13 words, Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, V'chanun. Again, different questions of how to break up the words. But these 13 expressions of Hashem's mercy for the Jewish people, when we use them, and he writes here in brackets, quoting Rashi on the Gemara, She'im yazkirum Yisrael betfilas ta'anisam, when we mention it on a fast day, and we invoke these words, She'enan chozros reikam. These words do not end up, they don't return empty-handed. In other words, if you use these words, you're going to see results. Okay? Where is the source of this passage? Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Zayin, Amud Beis. Okay? Everyone with me so far? So we have an amazing little Gemara. A Gemara that's explaining a couple of psukim in Parshas Kisisa, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrapped himself in a talis and taught Moshe Rabbeinu, these are the magic words. If you use them in the right way, you're guaranteed to see results. Okay? Now, what Rav Dessler is going to do for us today, as we go through this small piece, Rav Dessler is just going to break down each step of this Gemara and teach us what it means. What was Hashem showing Moshe? I mean, Hashem had to, what, put on a talis and act out playing chazan? Nuchever, let's make sure that everyone's still there. Tell me, what do you think it means? Someone offer an explanation. Right, what does it mean? Why is Hashem putting on a talis and Hashem... I mean, he taught Moshe the words. Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, V'chanun. Why is the Gemara saying that, you know, that Hashem acted it out and Hashem had to perform this for Moshe Rabbeinu? What's the image of Hashem wrapping himself in a talis? What's that trying to say to us? What do you think? Who wants to comment? Everyone's going to be shy, of course, because it's the first day of Shir. No? Alex Paul, talk to me. Why is Hashem wrapping... Oh, sorry, Alex. No, you don't want to go for it? Why is Hashem wrapping himself in a talis? He's demonstrating, what, Hashem's showing Moshe, you have to cry when you daven, you have to hide under your talis when you daven. What are the, every word, what Rav Dessler is going to show us, what our great Rebbe, Rav Eliyahu Eliezer Dessler, he was called Elia Laser. Eliyahu is sometimes Elia, and Eliezer is sometimes called Laser. They called him Elia Laser. He's a genius of a young man. So Rav Elia Laser, Rav Dessler says, every word of this Gemara is telling us something. Okay, Yehuda Colton, let's hear.
I don't think I'm right. I'm just willing to
Don't be shy. Break the ice. Let's hear.
People answering. In Shema it says that we're gonna wear the tzitzis and we're gonna see the tzitzis and remember the mitzvot Hashem ba'sisim osam.
Okay.
And Hashem is saying a bris is something that's like not contingent on anything, but Hashem's kind of saying to Moshe, I think, that this is even when Hashem is so mad that like he was going to destroy the entire Jewish people for the Egel Hazav, Hashem kind of went into a headspace of he reads Simoso, like he sees the tzitzis and he's tizkor the mitzvot Hashem, that the Jews are generally a people that go about doing the mitzvot Hashem and the will of Hashem. And because of that, even in this situation where we don't deserve it or where we've done something that's too far, Hashem's going to keep this bris with us through this like remembrance from seeing the talis.
Okay, so you're saying Hashem looks at the talis and it reminds Hashem, the same way the tzitzis remind us, right, that we're supposed to keep Hashem's mitzvos. So when Hashem puts on the talis, it's a reminder that, listen, the Jews do a lot of mitzvos, but sometimes, you know, everyone makes mistakes, even big mistakes. And maybe that's what inspires Hashem to forgive us. It's a nice drasha. I like that. Very, very nice. Yeah, Donnie, let's hear.
So, I mean, when I looked back at the pasuk, it's like the last verse is Vayikra. So, like, my question was, like, who is Hashem davening to, right? And, like, right. So many times we think when we're davening to Hashem. So maybe what Hashem's trying to teach Moshe is it's more of a personal thing. You're speaking to the self. And he demonstrates it through the talis, which is... like representative of an inner world. So
beautiful.
That was like my like first take.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Right. Who is Hashem, right? I mean, the Pashup Shot obviously is Hashem is teaching the words to Moshe, but like Vayikra is Hashem, who is Hashem proclaiming to? Who's Hashem speaking to? Right? Moshe is sort of listening in, but right, why is Hashem hiding under his...
I'm going with that one.
Why is Hashem... Your answer's good too. All answers are good. Why is he hiding under the talis? It's teaching us that when we daven, and by the way, Donnie, you're saying something very, very true. Right, davening, everyone thinks davening is about, you know, talking to Hashem, which it is, of course it is. But it's also very much what Donnie just said about talking to yourself, becoming self-aware. Right? When I daven, when I ask Hashem to, you know, to help me with certain things, or I speak about I don't know, Hashiva Shoftenu Kavarishona. Yeah, to restore judges like they once were. There shouldn't be so much corruption in the legal process, right? So I'm also saying to my own soul, you know, I have to be a partner in that. I have to make sure that I'm an honest person, that I make honest decisions. Right? Tefillah is really an opportunity to be self-reflective. So maybe Hashem, so to speak, under his own talis, kiviyachol, you know, so to speak, is Hashem teaching us that when we daven, it's helping us to become more self-aware. Beautiful. Beautiful explanation. Okay, let's see what Rav Dessler has to say. He's going to break it up word by word, step by step. Okay, take a look. Says Rav Dessler, Shinis'atev HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the second paragraph, Shinis'atev HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kishliach Tzibur. Right? He's going back to the words of the Gemara. Hashem wrapped himself like a Shliach Tzibur. Just to make sure everyone's with me for a second, we're over here. Shinis'atev HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kishliach Tzibur. Okay, maybe I'll keep it up for today just so I can get everyone started. Hashem wrapped himself like a chazan. What is the imagery of wrapping? Atifa. You know, the halacha is very clear that if a person wears a talis, like a scarf over your shoulders, that's not wearing a talis. Atifa means a real wrapping, right? And the Gemara actually defines it as atifas yishme'elim, like an Arab whose head is wrapped in a turban. Right, that's why when we put on the talis, at least for a few moments, you know, you see people, they wrap the talis like around their neck and around their head, because that's really an atifa, right? And when you wear a talis, even though you wear it over your shoulders and over your body, right, very often you're supposed to try to keep the talis over your head as well. That's more of an atifa. Okay, so what's the idea of being wrapped? Atifa means wrapped. It doesn't say Hashem wore a talis. It says Hashem wrapped himself in a talis. Says Rav Dessler, Remez l'siluk kol bilbulim mibachutz. Very much what Dani was saying. It hints to the removal of all bilbulim mibachutz. What's a bilbul? Bilbul means all the distractions, all the background noise. However, this is really important as we begin a new semester, a new zman together. Right? There's always a lot of noise in your life, and there's going to be a lot more noise as your college classes get started. And there's a lot of responsibilities. And the world's in a kind of a crazy place right now. There's going to be a lot of bilbulim in life. I have bills to pay. I have a wife and four children upstairs. My kids are not back in school yet even. All right, and I'm hiding out here in my basement. Yeah? There's always going to be other things. And they're not bad things. Bilbul is not bad. I love my wife and children. And you should enjoy your college classes. But there's always going to be other things. So how do I get into that space? How do I clear my mind? How do I make sure that I'm actually present with Hashem and with myself? And the answer is, the first step, Hashem says, is nis'atif. You have to go under your talis. Now, I know not everyone here wears a talis. I know some people do and some people don't. Right? But for those who don't, it's a metaphorical talis. It's a metaphorical talis in the sense you don't actually have to be under a talis, but you have to be able to block out the noise. You have to be able to converse in a real way with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So says Rav Dessler, Hashem wrapping in a talis hints to the removal of all of the bilbulim, all of the noise, all of the distractions. L'ramez lanu ha'achona harishona l'tfila. It hints to us the first preparatory step for tefillah. Number one, shut your cell phone. Or at least at least put it on silent mode. And certainly don't check your text messages in the middle of davening, even in Chazaras HaShatz. Even when the chazan is, on autopilot and the crowd is just kind of waiting for it to end, right? Chazaras HaShatz, the Arizal says, is higher than your private Shmona Esrei. When the chazan is repeating, he's davening on behalf of all of us. Yeah, even though sometimes we run through it. So step number one, and again, this is really the first step to tshuva, what Rav Dessler is teaching us, is to create a space for yourself where you can actually think, where you can listen, where you can get into your own, head. There could be some mindfulness, some self-awareness. That's step number one. What does the Gemara say next? What did Hashem teach Moshe? Seder tefila. He taught him the order of davening. And he told him, whenever you're in trouble, daven before me kiseder hazeh. Daven in this order. What does it mean? Why emphasizing order? Says Rav Dessler, Hahadgasha al seder, the emphasis of seder. Mishum shetfila b'li hachana misuderes. because if you don't prepare yourself, and maybe this is why I struggle so much with tefillah, because I run into tefillah. I don't prepare myself. How many of us sit for 5 minutes, or let me say it differently, 5 seconds, before you start davening and think about what am I trying to do? We spent a half hour of this morning's shiur, and it's not wasted time, not for a second, of talking about who we are and what some of our goals are. And that becomes a foundation for everything we're trying to do. So how often do I, you know, I'm sitting in shul, I'm waiting for mincha to start, and I'm talking to my friend about, you know, last night's ball game, and then all of a sudden, Ashrei Yoshev Esecha, I don't know what I want to talk to Hashem about. I haven't thought about anything. I didn't prepare myself. So says Rav Dessler, the emphasis on Seder means preparing yourself. Bechinas shoin sha'achas u'mispalin. Chever, you recognize this statement from Chazal? It's a Mishnah in Brachos. I'm sure some of you have learned it before. That in the olden days, it says, the Chasidim Rishonim, the pious ones, would shoin. They would wait a sha'achas. They would wait an hour before davening. They would come to shul an hour early and sit there thinking about what do I want to daven? What do I want to talk about? It says Rav Dessler, if you have a tefillah without that preparation, underline the next two words, eina pnimis. It's a superficial tefillah. It's not coming from an inner place. It's a very shallow tefillah. Tzrichim hachana, we need preparation. Atifa, we need to block out all the noise. Va'achar kach, and after we've done that, then we could start using the right words. And what are the right words? What are we learning this morning? Yud gimel midos kesidron dafka. These 13 steps, again, in these psukim, Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, Bechanun, Erech Apayim, Hashem, you're slow to anger. These words, again, if you have a chumash in front of you, open up to Shemos Perek Lamed Dalet. Take a look at the words. They're beautiful words. Once I've arrived, once I've prepared myself, once I'm present, so then I can start climbing the ladder. And it is a ladder. It's a precise ladder. Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, V'chanun. Each of these phrases is a step towards an understanding of Hashem's relationship with you and your relationship with Him. Says Rav Dessler, Perish, what does that mean? Lehizbonein behen, to think deeply, lehizbonein, to contemplate. However, I know some people have better Hebrew skills and some people have not as good yet Hebrew skills. So write down the words. I'm trying to translate pretty precisely. Learn the words. Ulahasigan belev kesidron. What does lahasig mean? Lahasig means to absorb it, right? To attain it, to grasp it. I'm not just saying these words. I'm trying to live these words. For example, let's pause for a second. For example, what do Chazal say? Anyone know? What does the Gemara say about Hashem, Hashem? Those first two words. Yudke vavke, yudke vavke. Hashem's name twice. Hashem, Hashem. Why does it say Hashem, Hashem? What does it mean? Who knows? Anyone know? Yeah, Noam, let's hear. What's Hashem, Hashem?
Hashem kodem achir v'Hashem
achir. A very deep idea. The Gemara says, I am your God before the sin. I'm still your God after the sin. Hashem, Hashem. I'm God, I'm your God before the sin. I'm your God after the sin. So it's not just two words that we spit out. I have to prepare myself. I have to think, what am I saying? Do I really believe that? How many of us believe, Chaver, let's be honest for a second, how much do we believe, to what degree do we believe, that Hashem is still the same God after the sin? You know? Let's say you're dating someone, and things are going really well, yeah? And the relationship is progressing in a beautiful way. And then all of a sudden you get into this big dispute, this big fight, right? And you feel that it really scarred the relationship, right? So, is it so easy to just get back to, you know, what it was achar achet, after things fell apart? Is it so easy? Now again, sometimes when a person encounters difficulty, you grow from that. Sometimes it's even better after the fact, right? But do we really believe that, you know, right after I do an avera, Hashem loves me the same way He loved me before I did the avera? 10 minutes ago, I had one relationship with Hashem. Now I did something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu despises. So now what? I believe we're good. We're exactly where we were 10 minutes ago. I didn't do tshuva yet. I didn't do anything yet. So now what? Hashem, you're still the same Hashem after the sin. Is that true? Do we believe that? But Rav Dessler is telling us, what the Gemara is telling us is, again, we have to work on these principles. We have to try to absorb these ideas. we're not just, you know, we don't just roll into shul during Slichos or on Yom Kippur and just mumble the words. Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, V'chanun. We have to meditate on these ideas. And you can't do that unless you're under that metaphorical talus. You can't do that unless you create that space where a person can, you know, so to speak, gather himself and be able to think and be able to understand what do these words mean? What is the power of these awesome words? Okay? Any questions or comments? Yehuda, I saw you had your hand up. What do you want to say?
I just wanted to say that Rav Itamar Schwartz, he's a tzaddik in Yerushalayim, I think. So he has a sefer called, I think, Tola Shani, that I heard Rav Moshe Weinberg quote the other day.
Okay.
He wrote a sefer called Bavavi Mishkan Evna, which I learned with my wife, but we listened to Rav Moshe Weinberger's shir about it, and he brought in another mamar from the same tzaddik, and he basically says that before it was like a tefillah to a Kadosh Baruch Hu that he should have the like mental wherewithal when he goes into his avodah, when he goes into his Talmud Torah, and separately also a tefillah when he goes into his tefillah, that at those times he should have the mindfulness and like the wherewithal to actually stop and say, Rabbono Sha'olam, I'm about to be ma'asik in Talmud Torah or in Tefillah, and I'm doing it in order to get closer to you and to have more of an understanding of you. As you said, will happen when I do these things, and please give me the ability to do that, and also while I'm in the moment, to help me remember that this is why I'm doing it.
Beautiful, beautiful. I'll give you a simple piece of advice based on what Yehuda just said, which comes from the Dean of Ritz at Yeshiva University, Rabbi Menachem Penner Shlita. He likes to say that when he starts his Shmona Esrei, when he takes his three steps forward, he likes to say hi to Hashem. I don't think he says it out loud in the beginning of Shmona Esrei, but he thinks to himself for just a couple of seconds as he begins Shmona Esrei. He says, and he goes by his English name, that I guess some of his older friends and relatives know him by, Mark Penner. So he says to Hashem, hi Hashem, it's Mark. Hi. Like he says it in his head, like, I'm actually having a conversation with God right now. As opposed to just, you know, Hashem sefasai tiftach ufi agiti losech, and just, you know, start shuckling away with Shmona Esrei. He pauses for half a second and says, hi Hashem, in his head. He says, hi Hashem, it's Mark. I told Rabbi Penner that sometimes when I start my Shmona Esrei, I think to myself, hi Hashem, it's Mark's friend. It's Mark's friend. I'm here to say hello. You know my buddy, Rabbi Penner Shlita. Okay, but it's so powerful. It's so simple. Such a simple idea. Hi Hashem, it's Yaakov Wieder. I'm here to say hello. Hi Hashem, it's Aaron Benchimol. You know, broadcasting live from Venezuela. I'm here to talk to you. You just take a couple of seconds of Hachana, and it makes a big difference. Okay, Jonathan Berger, what would you like to say?
A lot of times when I try to, like, I don't know if it works for other people, but, like, a lot of times when I start to rest, right, like even if, like, you're behind or whatever, you're trying to catch up, like, if you're in a rush, like, just take 3 seconds. Like, when you take 3 steps back, I think to myself, like, okay, I'm leaving this world, my mental state now, and when I take my 3 steps forward, okay, I'm going in front of Hashem.
Right.
Like, 3 steps back, 3 steps forward, you're leaving your world, you're going to Hashem's world. Like,
right. Beautiful. It's a beautiful image.
Like, I don't know, like, people should try. Like, it really helps.
Yeah, it's great.
Like, you're more aware of your surroundings like that.
Stepping out of all the noise or whatever, you know, whatever I was doing right beforehand, and then stepping lifnei Hashem. Walking up to, you know, stepping up to the plate, so to speak, to talk to Hashem. It's a beautiful idea. That's a beautiful way to be more present during tefillah. Okay, Chaver, let's keep going. So says Rav Dessler, beautiful. So says Rav Dessler, the goal is lahasigan b'leiv kesidran. The goal is to internalize these ideas. And again, all these little techniques that we're talking about, they're beautiful ideas. And we need to really do it, to work on it. You know, I don't give a lot of homework in shir, for those who know. But my homework assignment for today is... Do this during Mincha today. Something. One of the things we said this morning, you know? Take a couple of seconds, whether it's Jonathan's idea, or it's Yehuda's idea, or it's Donnie's idea, or anything that we discussed, you know, this morning while learning this piece. pretend. Go like this. Even though you're not wearing a talis at mincha, just go like this for a second. You know, pretend you're like putting on a talis. As like just a way of reminding yourself that I'm about to talk to Hashem. And organize your thoughts. And again, especially if we're going to use these powerful words, which we will use in the coming days of Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, V'chanun. So says Rav Dessler, we want to internalize these words. And as I start to reflect on these words, right? Yes, each of these phrases is sort of its own concept, but I start to what? Look at the word he uses. Misachdos. The concepts come together. The different ways that Hashem is merciful towards me and interacts with me come together. Meaning, I could look at people and I could see kind of the various things that they do for me, right? So I could look at, I walk into a pizza store, I buy a slice of pizza. So what's my relationship with the guy who sold me the pizza? He's a guy who sells me a piece of pizza. Do I have any other context of who this guy is? Does he daven in my shul? Does he live in my neighborhood? Do I have a charusa with him at night? Right? How do I know this guy? Right? What is the relationship between myself and my spouse? Right? Is my wife the person who happens to have made dinner last night in our home? Obviously, it's much more than that, right? So the goal is to look at the various midos of Hashem, the different things that, so to speak, in quotes, define Hashem, and try to put that together to what? Into a picture of an individual who I have a relationship with. Says Rav Dessler, Hainu hasagas achduso yizbarach, to recognize the oneness of Hashem as it fills my life. Umameila batal min alev kol hirhor kal shel reshus acheres. When I think about that, when I reflect on how connected I am to Hashem, and how all these different aspects of Hashem's character, so to speak, are connected to me, and I really internalize that. So you know what happens, says Rav Dessler? And Chaver, this is the key to davening and the key to tshuva. Botel min halev. It negates in my heart any hear her kal, even the slightest thought of a reshus acheres, of thinking that my life is dependent upon someone else. To think that someone else is going to dictate, right, what's going to be my life, anyone other than Hashem. It's not my boss, it's not my spouse, it's not my Rebbe, it's not my Chavrusa, it's not Trump or Biden, it's none of those things. It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ki ein tova acheres ba'olam kazu. Because there's nothing in the world, when you start to really have a relationship with Hashem, when you could be alone with Hashem under the talis, there's nothing more enjoyable than that. There's nothing more beautiful than that. Hainu hasagas achduso yizbarach. You start to internalize the oneness of Hashem that fills everything. Ve'ein tov acher ba'olam kamo yizbarach shemo. And there's nothing as pleasant, there's nothing as good in your life as Hashem Himself. Okay? So says Rav Dessler, we're climbing this ladder of a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does the Gemara say next? And again, he's explaining each phrase of the Gemara. A couple more lines. Kol zman shi Yisrael choten. Whenever the Jewish people sin. Which words is Rav Dessler highlighting? You can see it's bolded. Kol zman. Chaver, never forget. There's no aveva that you can't do tshuva for. Now you might say back to me, wait a minute. I've learned that there are aveiras you can't do tshuva for. We're going to learn Maseches Yoma, Mishnayos Yoma. At the end of Maseches Yoma, it talks about situations of people who can't do tshuva. You've learned maybe a passage in the Zohar that says, certain sexually immoral activities you can't do tshuva for, right? When we say you can't do tshuva, when those sources tell us you can't do tshuva, it means a certain type of tshuva. You can always do tshuva. And the clearest proof is this Gemara. What does the Gemara say? Kol zman shi Yisrael choten. No matter how far away from Hashem you are. Says Rav Dessler, afilu misrachim biyoser. Even if you distance yourself greatly from Hashem. Afilu yatzu mishaychusam la'avos hakadoshim. Even if on a certain level you've severed your relationship from the avos, in a certain sense, you don't even look like a descendant of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's how far you've strayed. Nonetheless, Hashem says, if you come back under the talis, and you gather your thoughts, and you think about Ani Hashem kodem achet, Ani Hashem achar achet, I'm your God before the sin, I'm your God after the sin. Says the Gemara, Ani mochalam. Hashem says, I'm willing to forgive you. That's a very strong thing. that a Jew should understand that if he gets serious, if he comes back, if he enters into that space, there's nothing that he can't fix in the world. Okay? Why? Because it's a bris krusa, says the Gemara. It's a covenant that's been sealed. She'im yazkirim Yisrael betfilas ta'anisam. Rashi told us, what does that mean? If you use these words in the context of a ta'anis. Now, why did Rashi add that? Let's pause for a second and talk about that. Why did Rashi say, if you use these words while you're fasting? Right, the Gemara didn't say that. The Gemara said that this is a covenant. These 13 phrases in this pasuk, in these psukim, are magical words to tap into the midos of Hashem. Why does Rashi say if you utilize these in the context of davening on a fast day? Why? Why did Rashi say that? Yeah, Yaakov Weider, let's hear.
Maybe because on a fast day, you're not eating or drinking, you're disconnected from the physical world already, so okay. It's a chance to really tap into it.
Great. So a simple, good, clear and simple explanation. On a ta'anis, when you're not eating, right, and you've already entered into that kind of that space of today is a fast day, right? At the very least, I'm aware of that. So that makes it easier. As I withdraw from the physical world, maybe I'm already more focused. Okay, so that's part of that drawing inward. Yeah, Aaron, let's hear.
Maybe Rashi is talking about Yom Kippur.
It could be Yom Kippur, it could be another fest. It could just be, you know, it could be that there's a threat to the Jewish community and they declare a public fast day or a private fast day if a person's going through a difficulty and they want to fast as a way of being more reflective.
And I think it's also like a way of, that we talk about getting the talit and getting away from all the thoughts. It's also a way from getting away from the physical things, maybe.
Right. So getting away from the physical things, getting away from those distractions, right? What else was he just emphasizing? He was emphasizing how these 13 phrases create a singular picture of Hashem. It creates sort of this oneness with Hashem. However, what happens on a fast day? On a fast day, it's not just about me becoming more focused, but the Jewish people, as a tzibor, become more focused. Look what Rav Dessler says in continuation of these words. Rav Dessler says, "Hainu tefila mu'uchedes im aklal." When we're fasting, right, we're all kicking it up a notch. Everyone's going to daven a little stronger on a fast day. We become part of a tzibur. There's a Gemara in Meseches Krisos on Daf Vav that says that any fast that doesn't include poshei Yisrael, intentional sinners of the Jewish people, Einatanis is not a true fast day. In other words, there's something unifying about a fast day, right? Think about the Jew who doesn't keep anything else other than, you know, fasting and coming to his or her temple on Yom Kippur, right? Picture that Jew who's not a particularly religious person, but Yom Kippur comes around, and all of a sudden they also join in. They also come to pray, right? So there's something about a tanis, what Rashi's hinting to, is that it also brings together the Jewish people, it unifies us, and like you just suggested, Aaron and Yaakov, hainu imbitul hayesh, and we negate some of ourself. Again, that human need to eat can get in the way, so to speak, of our spiritual growth, and therefore by negating our desire to eat, and by becoming more thoughtful, and connecting to our fellow Jews, I open up this possibility of accessing Hashem in a deeper way. Okay, Yehuda, and then we'll finish up the last five lines of the piece. Yeah.
I just noticed a recurring theme throughout the piece. He's talking about like the Achdus of the Midos,
right,
and the Achdus of us, the Hashem Yisbarach, and the Bitul Hayesh, and we know that Hashem created Yesh Me'ayin, and that the Gemara and Shabbos says in Mazal Yisrael, that we don't have a constellation that like determines what happens to us. And the way that we like to translate that is Ayin Mazal Yisrael, that like we're able to tap into like Tshuva Tefillah Tzedakah Ma'avir and Yisrael HaGzirah. And so here when it says that we are able to like, it's Hayinu Tefillah Me'uchedes Im HaKlal, Hainu in Bitul Hayesh. So I think it's like, it's definitely everything that we're saying. I just wanted to like bring it one level higher to like the Talis is kind of like a Chalal HaPanoi. Like we're literally creating like this space where like it's
empty, that empty space.
Fill it. And we're trying to, through this time, it's like Rashi's saying, we're all trying to be ma'achid together and to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, like he says, that we should realize this has sago safdusa yisbaruch shmo.
Right.
And through the Shlosha Asar Midos, really connect to like the Ein Mazal Yisrael aspect of what's going on in Rosh Hashanah.
Right. We're returning to a place of ayin, of holy nothingness. For the chaver who are new, Yehuda learns a lot of deep svarim. So if you don't have a clue what he's talking about, don't worry. It's okay. I'm still learning myself. I'm a student of Rabbi Yehuda over here. Okay, but yes, that's exactly what we're doing. We're going back to sort of that starting point of creation itself, of Ayin Mazal Yisrael, a point of holy nothingness, which means that I'm negating that version of myself that I call Ephraim or Joseph or Seth, and I'm going back to just being one with Hashem, right? I'm negating that independent self that defines itself as, you know, I'm a political science major, or I'm studying computer science, or I'm majoring in psychology, and I get back to just the root of being an neshama, which is a piece of Hashem, so to speak. Okay, chaver, let's finish up the piece. Got three lines left. It says Rav Dessler, she'inan chozros reikam. What did the Gemara tell us? If you use these words in the right way, it's guaranteed to work. Says Rav Dessler, shenechnasos lelev mamish. Because when you create that space and you connect to Klal Yisrael and you connect to the various midos of Hashem and try to really internalize them and you prepare your speech before you talk to Hashem, your masader, the seder, you organize the order, it's going to enter your heart in a deep way. Velo kakador hapogeya bekosel v'chozer. Not like a ball that strikes against the wall and bounces back. We want these words to. And it's what Donnie Sawson said before. Right? I'm not shooting these words at Hashem, hoping that Hashem will absorb them. In a certain sense, I'm directing them at myself, that I should absorb them. And I don't want them to just bounce back. Sometimes we daven, we don't even realize that we actually davened. I mean, take for example, you know, Rav Elia Lopian, who was a great mashgiach, very much from a similar world that Rav Dessler came from. Rav Elia Lopian said, if you ask someone, imagine you stop someone on the street, and you say to them, did you go to the doctor today? Right? You go to the doctor today. So typically a person can answer that question. If you had a dentist appointment that morning, you probably remember, no? I think that's a reasonable thing to assume. Yeah, if I stop Gabe Life on the street and I say, Gabe, were you at the doctor this morning? Yeah. Either he was or he wasn't. He'll know the answer to that question. You're not going to think, well, did I go to the doctor this morning? I can't remember. Right? That would be very strange. That would be extremely strange. But if you ask a person who, let's say, daven shachris this morning, did you say Rifa'inu this morning? Okay? How many people here remember saying Rifa'inu this morning in Shmona Esrei? Now, maybe the answer is yes. Maybe you daven specifically. Maybe you're not feeling well. Maybe you're davening for someone who's not well. Maybe your Rifa'inu is very clear in your mind, right? And even if you don't remember it perfectly, you could probably assume, I think I said it. Pretty sure I said it. I'll answer for myself right now. Moshe Tzvi Weinberg, did you say Rifa'inu this morning? I can tell you the answer is yes. Do I remember it as clearly as if I went to the doctor? The answer is no. So why is that? Rav Elia Lopian said, if you went to the doctor, you would remember it. Don't you think talking to Hashem about your health is at least as valuable as going to the doctor? So why is it fuzzy in my mind? Ask me if I said Rifa'inu and Maariv last night. I probably did. I have no reason to assume I skipped it. But it's not clear, because I wasn't standing in front of Hashem enough. And that's the idea here. When we prepare ourselves to speak to Hashem in a real way, the words enter our heart, and it's not like something that's just, you know, bouncing back in your direction. Hisbon in this barachim of Yisbarach api hezber zeh. When we contemplate the kindness, the mercy of Hashem, in accordance with what we've learned this morning, zeh po'el es bivadai. This is guaranteed to work. And he concludes by giving us a reference. He says, look in the Sefer Tomer Devorah by one of the great Kabbalists, Rav Moshe Cordovero, who teaches us how to be more reflective on each of these, you know, character traits of Hashem. Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, Bechanun, Erech Apayim. He goes through it in that Sefer step by step. But again, what a beautiful idea from Rav Dessler. Again, to prepare ourselves. Chevra, it's in a couple of weeks. This is such a crazy way to start a new Zman and Yeshiva and to spend the Chodesh El together. But in a couple of weeks, it's going to be Rosh Hashanah before you know it. We're going to be standing before Hashem trying to figure out what Tafshin Pei Aleph, what 5781 of the Jewish calendar is going to look like. Don't roll into shul not prepared. You would never come to a court case unprepared. So now's the chance. Chodesh Elul is the chance for us to get ourselves ready, to prepare ourselves, to figure out what we want to say, how we're going to say it, to make sure that the words are absorbed within us in a deep way, to make sure that we can create a place where we can actually think and block out the noise. And then Bezrat Hashem, we're guaranteed by this Gemara that our words are going to work.